This is the Truth Network.
Coming to you from an entrenched barricade deep in the heart of Central North Carolina. Masculine Journey After Hours, a time to go deeper and be more transparent on the topic covered on this week's broadcast. So sit back and join us on this adventure. The Masculine Journey After Hours starts here now.
Welcome to Masculine Journey After Hours. We're in the middle of our post-boot camp breakdown. Summarize. we could break down. We're all tired. But no, it's just... I got no words.
Welcome Andy, to Sam's breakdown.
Andy, I need a thesaurus. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah,
I need another word.
What's interesting is I've found the Facebook feed. I'm sitting here watching you only on a short delay. So
really?
Did you give us a heart?
Yeah. I can make you feel like you're here, and I'll just stare at the camera.
just everybody freeze, and I'll think it's
broken. Make you uncomfortable like I do when you're here. But yeah. Anyway, but no. Welcome to Ask a Journey After Hours. We're talking about our favorite memories, moments, just things that really touched our heart from this last boot camp, and we could do a bunch of shows on it, honestly, and just trying to limit it to one thing is kind of tough, but. I wanted to start, before we get to a clip, and start with our buddy Michael, if that's all right, Michael. I'd love to hear about your first boot camp experience and, you know, whatever you feel like you'd like to share about it.
Well, first things first, the clips make a lot more sense now. I had a great time. You could really tell that the Holy Spirit was full in that place. Everybody there was just full of love and camaraderie. A lot of the lessons and the talks just seemed like they were aimed directly at me. Even though I know it's everybody. Some of my favorite things, though, was watching Robbie in the kitchen.
Yeah.
You know, it seemed like organized chaos going on, but by the end of it, just came together magically and everything was ready on time. It was just an amazing experience. Yeah, after coming back home, it's like, oh, back to the real world, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, back to the Matrix. You know, so we're back into it.
Just try to pray to Jesus every day to keep me in that same... flow state.
Yeah, it is. It's there's a little bit of a boot camp, not let down, but it's such a great. I feel really safe at boot camp, and not that I feel unsafe in other places. It's a very safe environment.
Right.
You know, you're not really worried about being judged, or you're not really worried about having to. Okay, do I say this? You know, am I gonna offend people? Not that I don't want to speak what I feel, right. But you know, you don't, if you're starting to push people away, they're not going to listen to you. Mm-hmm. You know, and so, but it's just a time where you can really just be yourself and know that it's okay and that you're accepted exactly how you are.
That's true.
You know, and that's what I miss about it is you come back and you have to have varying levels of, you know, not masks, but defense, you know, a little bit of defense is up because, you know, not everybody's going to be as good-hearted as the guys that are at camp.
That is true. And they are some amazing guys.
I've said it for years that it's like tasting heaven to some extent. Like, especially for me, always Saturday night when the team meets together, prays, talks about, you know, where we've been, what we're doing. If they're, you know, it's just like, can you imagine what it's going to be like in heaven? You know, the same kind of thing where you can just totally just, you know, be who you are and it's just, and feel totally accepted, totally loved, and totally part of the equation.
Right.
Like able to contribute and what you're doing makes a difference.
Yeah.
You know, it's something that actually means something, right? you can clearly see that, you know, guys are connecting to God, hearing God that they've never, you know, never heard from God before, and moving into things that they've never been willing to move in. You know, when it comes to digging into your wound, let's be honest, I mean, that's painful stuff.
It is.
And to see guys do that is huge.
I think what's really pretty cool at camp, you know, there isn't any status of, you know, hierarchy or anything like that. You know, in the rest of society, or well, this is my boss, or this is, you know, my customer, or this is this. These are just men. Just men being men. And I don't know where people come from. You know, we don't really talk about that a lot. We just talk about things that matter. You know, I don't really remember asking anybody what they did for a living. Because at the end of the day, that really doesn't matter. That's not why we're there. Not to downplay what anybody does. It's just there's more important things to talk about than what I do, you know, Monday through Friday or whatever your work schedule is. You know, it's more about the heart and more about what God's doing. And guys, I think more so than any camp I've ever seen, really got that this time. You know, and there were just genuine conversations going on, which was really pretty cool. It wasn't really guarded, or it was great.
You know, what I've experienced, and I listen to you guys always excite me in your conversation. I usually have a Wednesday Bible study, and so when I go there, I share a lot of you guys, what mm-hmm. you guys have kind of stirred in my heart to share. So I do appreciate that, and I can tell from just the conversation we've had here tonight that it's did a lot of stirring you guys' hearts, and that's the goodness of men's ministry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what we do. We stir the gift of, if it be fatherhood or husbands or whatever the case is, we stir that gift of that thing in their hearts,
mm-hmm.
you know, which makes it go. And that's awesome. And I can tell you, I mean, I'm glad to sit here with you guys and listen to what's happened and what mm-hmm. you guys have went through, even though you guys are wore out.
Yeah, you know? We are tired.
You're leaving trails.
Yeah. We're dragging. Definitely dragging.
But it's worth it. And I appreciate you guys making that hustle happen and even sharing it with your listeners.
Yeah.
And I can encourage the guys out there who are not a part of a men's ministry, get involved.
Yeah.
Because that's where your impact, that's your strength, that's where God can use you, build you, make you, drive you, show you, and you can just be excited, become the better you that God designed you to be.
Absolutely. Thank you, Terry. Robbie, you have the first clip of the After Hours.
I do, and you know, to be in complete transparency, when I saw this clip, it was very frustrating to me.
That's right. Maybe God needed you frustrated, Robbie.
He always needs me frustrated. Because, you know, there's just a certain structure. You have expected that you're going to end boot camp with something from Braveheart, but we didn't this time. We did it from the end of the Band of Brothers HBO series.
Yeah.
And it reminded me of, like, what it's like to leave boot camp. That you've had a shared experience, and you had all kinds of different people from different walks of life, but all those giftings melded into what God was doing in this particular mission, what mm-hmm. he was doing in this particular time. And that comes at a lot of different levels, but my favorite one, I know Andy's going to like this, but is the idea of fathering men. That, you know, when you actually show somebody that you're really interested in them and really interested in helping them push into God, into their wounds, into these things, and whatever, that you can see people come alive that normally you can tell they never talk.
Right.
Right? Yeah. And all of a sudden, you know, they are more excited about their faith. But again, it's as this clip points out, who they were before the shared mission really didn't have any effect on what the shared mission was.
Mm-hmm.
And if you'll play it, then I'll talk a little bit more okay. about what that means to me.
Yeah, when we pick up this clip, they're all kind of playing baseball, just waiting
for the war to be over.
For the war to be over, yeah. Right.
How we lived our lives after the war was as varied as each man. Carwood Lipton became a glass-making executive in charge of factories all over the world. He has a nice life in North Carolina. Harry Welsh, he married Kitty Grogan, became an administrator for the Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania school system. Ronald Spears stayed in the Army, served in Korea, in 1958 returned to Germany as governor of Spandau Prison. He retired a lieutenant colonel.
Get him around.
All right, Webster.
He's in company! School circle!
For Easy Company, it was D-Day plus 434.
Fast man would have had it, Perko.
Listen up. Got some news. This morning, President Truman received the unconditional surrender from the Japanese. War's over.
Regardless of points, medals, or wounds, each man in the 101st Airborne would be going home. Each of us would be forever connected by our shared experience. And each would have to rejoin the world as best he could.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting that the day will come, right? That we'll hear the war's over.
Amen.
And wow, right? Right. But in the meantime, right, we did something different at this camp than we had ever done. We took on the cooking.
Yeah.
And, you know, I love to cook, and I've been doing that a lot on Wednesday nights. And so I had some experience for cooking for a larger group, similar in size. And so God really had been fathering me, honestly, through what that process might look like. However, what I, like Michael said, it was organized chaos because, you know, you're in a kitchen you've never been in before. You're dealing with things that you've never dealt with. You can't find anything that you want to find because you've never been in there before. And it was all sorts of things along those lines that made it extra challenging, especially the first couple nights. But then what happened was you would just need somebody to do something. And there would be people standing around. Sometimes there were campers. Sometimes there were other team members. I go, hey, you want to come? And it wasn't like they wanted to come. It was like, oh, I get to come. And it was a shared mission that it was fabulous to see something that you would not, to me, you would never see this in a job in your life. Not this kind of cooperation, not this kind of joy, not this kind of like, oh man, look, you know, I get to do dishes like Kenny. Like you had to see Kenny on the dish patrol, like in order to fully appreciate any human being. Like I had to pull him out of the kitchen every time that we went to have a talk, because he was right into his program. And mm-hmm. You know, again, I love, believe me, anybody knows I love the talk, I love the covenant of silences, and I love what happens with men's hearts when they connect with God. But you know, the different thing about this camp was watching men connect with something that wasn't necessarily their gifting, it was just their mission.
Yeah. It we definitely had guys from all over the place, mostly around this area of North Carolina, but I mean, just where they just directly came from, you know, what's going on in their life, it was everywhere, you know, but you felt none of that when you were at camp. We were just a team that was there, which was really cool.
It was.
You know, regardless of what we're doing, and I went out and watched them play airsoft. That was quite fun. This was a pretty fun group, and we're not talking about just the teenagers. You know, we had some...
No, they had these high-powered rifles, and I took the first headshot. From one, I was like, you got to be kidding me. Like, right on the top of my head, like from a guy from one of my youth group.
Yeah.
I couldn't even believe it. Oh, yeah, yeah. And I'm like, man, dude, where are you aiming that you would hit me on the top of the head? It's not like I'm 6'1 or something, you know.
Not like that Blood Diamond video.
Right? Yeah, really.
You should have been going, Dia.
That's right.
Would have left you alone.
I did have a cool experience with one of the guys who was from my hometown, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a little younger than I am, but I went to school with some of his cousins, and I think so. We were both from Carthage, North Carolina. Good place to be from.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, that was kind of cool.
It's mentioned in Gladiator, actually.
That's right.
It's a different Carthage, but it is mentioned.
How do you know it's a different?
Well, I'm thinking Maximus has never been to North Carolina. I'm just thinking.
He's from Southern Rome.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. We'll move on. I actually have the next clip, and you've heard this clip if you've listened to the show, because I've used it a lot in the last few weeks, but I wanted to use it again here because I was able to do two talks this time, and I really liked both of them quite a bit. But the new name talk, God continues just to, in all the talks, God continues to unpack them for me. And what was really cool on the new name talk was that I got more clarity to some of the names that God gave me years and years and years ago, 2002, which was really kind of cool. I got some insight on some other things as far as my name goes, names have gone. But I want to go ahead and play this. And this is from Rings of Power. And we've used it a few times over the last few months. And you have this character that doesn't know who he is. They just call him the Stranger. And he's on this mission. He's on this adventure with two girl hobbits that he's become friends with. And they're trying to help him by giving him just names. They're just throwing out names. And I want you to hear his response. And then we'll come back and talk about it.
What about Doderic?
Doderic.
All right. And Wise?
It is a fine name. Nevertheless, it is not going to be mine.
I know. Fredegar.
But don't you see? No one can give you a name. It is yours already. It is who you are. And when you hear it spoken, you feel your heart glow.
You'll hear it one day. I'm sure of it. We'll find out who you are.
You know, our enemy likes to attack on so many different levels. He attacks, you know, at all angles, obviously. And, you know, one of the ones that he consistently attacks at is the level of identity, right? You know, it says, you know, the character in there, which I won't tell you who that character becomes because you may watch the series. I don't want you to ruin it for you of who that actually is, the Stranger. And you find out at the end of season two who he is. But he says that no one can give you a name. It's already yours. But the world continually tries to give you a name. The labels the enemy throws at you constantly. Thief, cheater, liar, you know, whatever. Right? The world is not without labels. Right? We try to categorize people by labels. Everything the enemy does is to try to give you a label. Right? And it goes right at, often, the thing God knows is truest about you. You know, and so this whole talk of the new name has been so powerful and becomes more and more powerful, just like all of them do as we spend more time in them, for me, because there's just so many layers. As he peels back the next layer, there's another layer to the name and another layer to the name, and things that he knew about you that you probably didn't even know yourself or has long been beaten out of you by the enemy. You know, that he maybe had a glimpse of it at one point, and then the enemy smacks it down, and God has to unearth that and get you to believe it again. You know, and it was really cool, just some of the things that I had. But one of the coolest thing for me for the weekend, is my youngest son, Eli, responded to this talk. And so, you know, I've now had both of my sons respond to this particular talk, the new name talk. Caleb did that for Andy a couple years ago or a year and a half ago, Andy?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You know, and Eli's done it for me once before when he was quite a bit younger, and he's 20 now. And it was just really cool. We didn't really talk about what he was going to talk about. I just knew whatever he had it, you know, whatever he wanted to share. And so he got up and shared some stuff, and he shared some things I didn't remember us necessarily talking about. You know, I don't really, when he said it, I remembered he and I looking up his name in Hebrew and what it meant, but I really didn't know the impact it had on him. Or maybe it grew and had more of an impact as God's, you know, worked with him in it. And it was really kind of cool to hear his responses. And he went out at quiet time and got a little bit more insight, which is not my news to share, so I'm not going to share any more than that. But, you know, he was kind of excited to tell me about some stuff God was working on that, as it's, you know, going right at some things that he's been facing in life. And it's really neat to see what God does with that particular topic. Yeah, you know, I love to see what he does with all the topics. You know, but often we get a name that we're like, I don't really know. I don't really know about that, or I don't know that I fit that, or I don't know that that's a good one, God. You know, like we're to question God. You know, and either we grow into him or we learn more about him, and it's exactly the right thing, and it hits exactly what our heart needs. And so that's why I wanted to play that clip again and share a little bit about my son, and just as a dad, as a fellow brother in Christ, just how proud I am of him that he's on his journey, you know, with the Father and going in directions that, you know, he'll teach me about down the road.
One of the neatest things is just watching your journey on that whole issue is that, you know, it's your, I think your very first boot camp, right? You heard teacher and
facilitator, those two.
Second camp was facilitator.
Yeah.
And then the last regular boot camp we did, you were still moaning about your name teacher. And
Yeah.
Like I just am not feeling that. It isn't quite Maximus. Maximus teacher-mas.
Yeah.
But he hears God say, well, they used to call me teacher.
Yeah.
And that was a game changer for you.
It was.
And of course, Jesus, they did call him teacher. And then, you know, as you were talking about facilitator and you still weren't feeling that one, I wasn't feeling it. I was sitting there going, the whole ministry has always been based on Sam's gift to facilitate. Yes, you know, we all know that Sam founded the ministry, but he doesn't run it as if he's a facilitator. He facilitates all the giftings of all the men that have always come in. And it's so amazing that when you think about it, God did that before the foundation of the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that, it you know, the thing I was thinking about while you were doing this talk is he was sitting back there in the God kitchen, you know, he had Gene cutting figs for him.
Yeah.
And he was saying, okay, we need to put a little of this in Sam, and we need to put a little of that. And he stuck that down in Adam.
Yeah.
He had to.
Yeah, exactly.
He stuck that down into Adam so that someday, we would get a Sam, we would get an Eli, we would get a Caleb, we would get a Danny, we would get a, you know, all the people that are sitting here. And he knew that the combination of Sam plus Danny plus Terry plus Michael plus Harold were going to be, you know, lifting his name high and making much of what it means to chase after the heart of God on a show the day before, 2 days before. Actually, I would say Thanksgiving Eve is when we're actually recording this.
We are. Harold.
Yeah, that's a good point, sir. Real quick. Go ahead. Robbie, I never thought about that. We all know about how Adam's sin carried on from generation to generation, but we don't think about what God put into him originally that carried on, you know, from generation to generation. Cool insight. But yeah, I want to real quick on Eli too, of just how much he's grown and he grew into his name, and he was able to articulate it.
We can't play that clip of his original commercial.
Yeah. Yeah. Or you can. It was really high. Now, once in a while, I'll get his old voicemail when I call. I don't know how it does it through the thing, and it'll be, hi, you've reached Eli. I don't know who that is, but now it's like, hello, you've reached Eli.
It's a lot different. I mean, Robbie, remember whenever he was graduating, I think, up into high school? Was that right, Sam?
Maybe.
He turned 16, maybe?
Well, 18 in high school.
Whenever.
Oh, yeah. Oh, his 16th birthday. Yeah, his 16th. Yeah. Yeah. When you guys went out Jeep riding.
Exactly. Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah. Yep.
That was fun, man. That was a great time.
We'll have to do that again.
It really was. With Caleb Manny.
Well, Harold, you about boot camp, you know, what's some things that come to you?
Yeah, well, my favorite memory, I had to sit and think about it for a little while, but my favorite memory involves Sam. You may have heard him tell about his story where
his older sister, separated by 28 years, if I'm remembering the number right.
That's right.
That called him motor mouth and you have nothing to say and yada, yada. And I sat there in class watching Sam have very much to say and being very animated in saying it. His enthusiasm, he's a fantastic teacher. And so I would heartily agree with the label that teacher fits him tremendously. He has a lot to say to us. He's very honest. He admits things that would not be admitted in most places. But it's okay because the rest of us have admitted the same kind of thing.
Absolutely.
So we share things that we'd wish we hadn't done, but we admit we did do it. And that's one of the really great things about this group. Yeah. Oh, we got 1 minute left.
Yeah, and the ministry as a whole. And Harold, thank you so much. That's a testament to God's continued work in all of our lives. You know, that he continues to take us out. If you're not familiar with what he's talking about on the new name, there is a scripture in Revelation that talks about that there will be a time when God gives us each a white stone with a name written on it between us and him, right? But that doesn't mean you have to wait until you're dead to get those names. You know, Jesus had many names. God had many names. We still have many names. The Holy Spirit has many names, and so do you. So just spend some time asking God, what is it you think of me? And if you're hearing something condemning, that's not from God. That's from the enemy. But if you're hearing something convicting, go with him and say, God, just spend some time with me. But let God love on you this Thanksgiving holiday and love on others well. We'll talk with you next week.
This is the Truth Network.